had this demon who was oppressing my finances. Which is okay, because I can just say the prayers and he would leave it alone. Then he would start it again. I'd beat him up and he'd leave it alone. And it kind of, we played this cat and mouse thing for a while, and I finally, you know, started getting irritated with that. But the primary concern I was having is people were coming to me with cases that were true diabolical oppression. We're not just talking about coincidences that happen to people. Because once in a while, somebody who's kind of aware of spiritual warfare will say, I got an auto accident. You think that's diabolic? No, it's just your bad driving skills. Right? So, but we're talking patterns. With oppression, that's how you know it's diabolic. It's usually from the patterns. Like, doesn't matter what I do, I can't succeed. I can't seem to get going on this particular thing. Or I have this perfect thing, and it's taken to somebody, and they just like, all of a sudden, they think at first, like, yeah, this is great, we want to do it, and the next thing you know, we just get this phone call, we're not interested, boom. You know, or the person just loses their job for no reason whatsoever. Or the people around them, putting aside your own personality defects, the people around them will all of a sudden just start turning on them and cutting their friendships off with them without any reason whatsoever. Oppression is a very broad category. It primarily deals with things external. Even people's health can be the result of oppression. I knew a priest who was an exorcist. This woman had this chronic eye problem. He said the exorcism over her. It broke the oppression. The next day her eyes cleared up and she had had this problem for some time. So some health issues, not all health issues. Sometimes you just got bad DNA. I mean, that's just part of the shoot, especially with genetic entropy, by the way. Most people don't know that genetically we are decaying. We are not improving. It's genetic entropy itself, which the genetic community knows, is an absolute negation of evolution. Boom. That's it. It's over. All you have to understand is that we're going down. That's why a scientist just recently said that genetically we're getting dumber than our prior generations. Okay, we have more advanced technology, but that doesn't make us smarter. Okay, all that being said. Another thing that there are other kinds of oppression that demons will start doing. And that is, they'll start like agitating the person's affecting their sleep. Very high levels of oppression are, they'll start chattering to the person. Doesn't mean they're possessed, they'll start chattering to the person. Usually with stuff like that, you're supposed to ignore it. With oppression, the goal is to get you to start paying attention to it and start obsessing about how bad your life is and how bad things are going, so that from that disordered concern and thinking about it, then they can insert themselves into your thinking pattern and drive you down and eventually get you to do something really stupid so that they can possess you. So I had this case where the demon was oppressing the woman's finances so severely, it was literally hand to mouth. And then I started, because I have this website, any money that I get off the website, I give to the poor. So I was basically feeding her. So then he shut that down. So then I figured, okay, now I got to get him out of that. So, and it'd start and stop and start and stop and start and stop. So I figured, because with me beating him up, I'd start for a while and then I'd get distracted and then he would start his thing again. So when after she had defeated him and that's all the other areas, he said, the only thing that remains is the oppression. She has to defeat me in the area of oppression. So then I thought to myself, after that, before the next session, I thought, okay, then this guy's going to take him to the woodshed. Because once in a while, usually for me it's kind of just going in and grinding it out, but once in a while I get a little annoyed. And I was just like, okay, this guy is paying a price. And that's not virtuous on my part, but it happens. I mean, my real virtue should be, I'm going to do this for Christ and not let Christ's glory. But in this case, I admit I wanted a little bit of satisfaction out of this guy. So I went into it, and with him, you don't ask a lot of questions. When he shows up, I turn to Christ and I said, don't let him out until he tells me the truth about this. And then I don't ask any more questions. I just beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him until he finally just can't take it anymore. And he just coughs up the information, which usually takes for him somewhere between 45 minutes and 2 hours of just nonstop beating him up. What happened was is he basically, through three sessions, very brutal sessions, they lasted for between an hour and a half and 2 hours each, because he knew this was very, he knew that if we understood this, it could change the dynamic, which it did in her case. Once we did what he told us had to be done, It broke his influence on my finances. It broke his influence in her finances. Her life has changed significantly on the material level, although it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination because she was so destitute. Other people who have used it have found it has had an effect. He made me pay a price for it, but that's okay. I'm willing to do that. So this is what he essentially said. He said, we do not have the right to afflict people or cause problems in these areas of their life by shutting off their finances or destroying their relationships. We have no rights here. Christ gives us permission to do it, but we don't have any rights. We do it hoping the person will play the victim when it happens. What's that mean? It means that when something really bad happens in their life, they'll just think to themselves, oh, look what's happening. There's nothing I can do about this. It keeps recurring. Everything I do isn't working. So they just kind of give it over so then they can just maraud the rest of the person's life. That's their goal. Or just be unimpeded. He said, what you have to do is, since we have no rights, but you do, by the natural law. The natural law, according to Leo XIII, states that we have, which we know by reason, that we have rights over our property. We have rights over our good reputation. We have rights over the product of our work. And so what he was saying is you have rights over these things. You need to reassert your rights and kick us out. And that's what we started doing. So then I drafted a prayer that talks about how, or that basically turns to God the Father and says, you know, I reclaim my rights over these things. Anything I ceded to the demons, I reclaim that. And then you turn to the demon, you bind him and tell him, get out of my finances. You have no rights here, is essentially what the prayer says. Once we started doing that, it had a tremendous impact. There was only one area of oppression I personally had to add something to in my own life. I had to add a devotion to it, and then that finally broke it. In the past, exorcists said the way you break oppression is by an increase in prayer life. That's true. I have seen that, but it's a much longer grind than this process. Now, what demons will very often do is when you start asserting your rights over it, they're like little kids, by the way. So when you come to them and you say, hey, pal, that's mine, they'll kind of take the position, look at, no, mine, right? And then you slap him, and then he coughs it up, and then you can go on about your business. But so when you start saying this prayer, the oppression may increase a little bit because what are they doing? Trying to get you to play the victim. Oh, this isn't working, so you just give up. You just keep reasserting it. And the strength with which you reassert your rights over the thing is how quickly they'll get out and how much they'll get out.
Strength of them.
Yeah. Right. And
what do you mean strength?
In other words, it's not that, get out. It's like, hey, pal, get out.
You're out of here. Push-ups at the same time.
Right. The other thing is, too, as I discovered in this, is that God actually wants us to reassert our rights over these things. He wants us to defeat the demons. Yes, he permits them, but that's to draw us closer to him in the process of booting them out. So he wants you to do that. And if you're going to do good, especially as actors and writers and producers, if you're going to do good, what's going to happen is they're going to oppress you because they don't want those things coming to fruition. And so that's why now you know what it is. Now you know how to get them out. And sometimes in my own personal life, because of the work I do, I have to say that prayer pretty much every day to keep them out of my business. And it's working pretty well so far. Although, there's a thing with that. Whenever demons get quiet in your life, that's a really bad sign. Hmm. Because it's a sign that here comes the boom. It means there's some area of your life they're majorly messing with, and you're unaware of it. Now, the beauty of this oppression thing is you can say, and by the way, any other areas of my life where you're messing with, you're out of there too. So this seems to have worked. Things kind of calmed down in my own life in relationship to this and other people's lives who have started using this. So there's that good aspect of it. So I think that it's that you know, being unprotected thing, you still have to ask our Lord and our Lady for protection, but that being unprotected thing, you're able to defend yourself more readily, your own goods, your own property, your own things.
Always be on guard.
Yes. You had a question? No.
No.
Yes.
So when you say it because they can't read your thoughts, do you say it out loud?
Oh, okay. No, they can't. If you don't say anything, they can't hear your thoughts. Actually, let's talk a little bit about how telepathy works, because that's essentially what happens when angels communicate with each other and with people in heaven, and when eventually we'll be able to. And actually, that's what prayer is. Prayer is a form of telepathy, by the way. Most people don't know this. What telepathy is that the mind of the individual, he has his own thoughts. And those thoughts are governed by his will in moving his mind to think of those thoughts. Now, the demons don't have access to the higher parts of our thing. They can't introduce anything. But when one angel, St. Thomas talks about this, when one angel wants to communicate with another angel, he, in his mind, he thinks of the other angel, and through his will, he basically, through his will, he indicates to the other angel, this, you know, I want to talk to you about something, right? And so then his will is, the mind is then opened, and then he opens it up, okay, and then he can then communicate his thoughts directly to the other angel. That's how they communicate. We do the same thing, except God is always receptive and the saints are always receptive. We do the same thing in relationship to God, but we just turn to him and talk to him or open up our mind to him. He just automatically sees it and communicates, and same with the angel, the saints and the angels in heaven. With demons, it's a little bit different relationship to us because it's not just pure, the upper part of it, it's not the higher faculties they're dealing with. They have access to our imagination to put things in it. They can't read what's in it directly, but they can put stuff into it. That's kind of that initial prompting of the will of the other person of, hey, let's think about this. And so they can put something into our imagination, but then we can block it, just like one angel can tell another angel, like, I'm busy now, can't talk, okay. Right? Mm-hmm. Which it doesn't happen, of course, I'm just being... but that they can just say no, or they can say yes in relationship to this. It's the same thing with us. But with demons, it's very similar. We're not praying to them, of course, but the mechanism is the same. With our mind, our imagination, when he starts bothering us, we turn to him, or when he's not bothering us, but he might be affecting our things, we turn to him and we tell him, get out. Do demons have the capacity not to think about this, to block it? The answer is yes and no. It's yes if, on the side of the person they're influencing, the person has let them hold on to something which they can hide behind. What does that mean? Let me put this concretely. During an exorcism, you start talking to the demon, and you start commanding him to think certain things, to say certain things. And what happens is, the person that's possessed, if the demon can hide behind something psychologically, like unforgiveness, or some sin they've committed and they won't let loose of it, and he hides behind that, then he can block having to deal with your commanding him. But in the case of oppression, but if there's not that mechanism in place, when you command him by the force of Christ, he cannot say no to what's coming into his mind. And so what happens is, he can try and resist it to some degree, but he can't block having to deal with it. And so, in the case of oppression, if you, with great force, tell them, this is what you're going to do, you're going to stay out of my finances, you have no rights here, and you reassert your rights over it, then he hears what you're telling him. Even if you say it, whether you say it verbally or whether you say it purely mentally. And in fact, that's one of the ways you know someone's possessed. There's, on some occasions, Christ will allow pure telepathy to occur during the possession between the exorcist and the demon. So there's times when if I'm borderline, like, I'm not so sure this person's possessed, I'll just mentally give a command, in different languages even, mentally, and the demon will give you the exact answer. It's not, they're guessing. I never ask for a yes or a no. I always ask for very specific information. Like, I'll mentally say, you know, how did you get into her? So they give you very specific information. If they're not possessed, they may say something, but it doesn't correspond to what you're asking. And they don't even know you're asking these questions. In fact, very often they're just like, man, that was weird. Stuff was just coming out of my mouth and I didn't hear anything. Well, yeah, that's because I was mentally talking to the demon. So that's how we know that mechanism works. Okay. But this is very important, that whole oppression thing, because they do try and get to people's lives to some degree or another. But in your line of work, you're going to be oppressed if you're trying to do the right thing. It's just that simple. Even if it's not something about religion per se, it's just something that's going to help people to see, you know, this isn't a good thing, which isn't truly good, or maybe I should be more virtuous or something. They're going to try and block it.